Welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, presented by Hugh Hattrick. Drive fast and try not to crash. The Car, Sim and Race Driver Show, with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr.
Hello.
Hey, it's good to speak to you, Andrew. We're live out on the podcast, on the Podbean platform, all around the world. And I'm sure by the end of our show, there'll be lots of people thinking, my goodness, what was that I just listened to? Hopefully giving them pleasant dreams to send them off. But yes, but of course, tonight we are talking about the Brazilian Grand Prix, which was a fantastic race. I know you watched it a little bit after the live show. I thought I was enthralled by the whole thing. But I think one of the best races we've had in a long time. And to be fair, a very good year of racing. Many of the races have been excellent. But yeah, now we've also got a special competition.
Have we?
Oh, we do. Don't worry, you're not paying for it.
No. Oh, my goodness. What can we win? Is it a single mushroom or... A piece of one of Vettel's tyres.
Well, unfortunately, you and I are not allowed to win the prize. That's the thing. Yes, we have to give it away.
But favoritism.
But for all our listeners, or to anyone out there who's listening live or who listens to this on the recorded show once it goes up onto Podbean later on in the week, all you need to do is subscribe to our shows or give us a follow on Podbean, also on our YouTube channels. I'm trying to think of our other channels as well. Yep, we've got Podbean. We've got our YouTube channels, which is under Hugh Hattrick. If you put a like and a subscribe to our shows and follow us on Podbean, then you'll be entered into the competition. Now, the prize is a special photo tile. Do you know what a photo tile is? Andrew, have you ever had one before?
Is this a ceramic bath tile with a photo on it?
Yes, but yeah, very similar. It's about kind of 8x8 type thing. And I've got quite a few. If you've seen any of my videos, this is another ploy. If you want to see what it's like, if you watch one of my videos on YouTube on the HughHattrick.com, any of the most recent ones, you'll see in the background I've got about four or five, I have five photo tiles on my wall. And the thing is, we are going to make a special photograph. We want ideally our listeners to give us an idea of what they would like on that photo tile. We'll choose the most popular, and then we will give it out as a prize. So how about that? A very special one. For example, I've got a Lewis Hamilton one. I've got an Ayrton Senna one. I've got me with David Perrell, and also me with Abby Eaton, which I got earlier on in the year. So it could be a fantastic prize to one of our special listeners. And that's only available on the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show.
Well, I didn't want it anyway, so there. I've decided. My nose is figuratively in the air right now. And I hope I don't sound too hurt that I can't join in.
Oh, we don't want any snowflakes on this show. You know.
I know what it is. It's because I'm English. I didn't nick your oil. Leave me alone.
Anyway. It's brilliant. So now that you've seen the race and you're all up to date, I just watched the highlights again a few minutes ago before we came on board. And I have to say, it was absolutely brilliant. What was your first initial reaction? Because even from the word go, it was pretty exciting, really.
Well, okay. What I want to do is I want to tell you what my reaction at the end of the race was. And it's one word, carnage.
It was brilliant.
It was just carnage. It reminded me of Germany. You know, we've talked before about what our favourite races are, and a lot of people say Germany was great. Well, to me, Germany was just kind of random carnage. Yeah. You know, things, people coming off and going across that bit of the track and stuff. Whereas I think the British Grand Prix, there's a lot more, I don't know, racing, I suppose, less sort of just luck.
Yeah.
And the last bit of that race, you know, where everything was just kicking off, it was just like a bit like that. It was, who knows who's going to smash into who next? I mean, We had Magnussen. I was surprised Grosjean didn't join him earlier in the race.
Yes, you know,
seems to be a thing.
So
I'll go back to your original question. From the start, fantastic! I can do a Murray Walker. Fantastic! the fantastic overtaking. The skilled overtaking that was going on. You know, I think Verstappen likes that track.
Aye.
He always does well there, doesn't he?
Because you know, it last year.
Yeah, but apart from
because Ocon who hit him, didn't he?
And then he nearly hit Ocon, didn't he? But in a different way. It's like, this is the thing about Verstappen, is that you're never bored. You're never bored. There's always something going on. Even if you don't like it, there's always something going on with the kid. He's good in a car, and he seems like he fancies himself in the ring. You know,
and they seem to have the power. I think that Honda engine, you know, the people wrote it off last year, saying it's a big risk for them, for Red Bull to go to it, but it was the right decision. You must feel for McLaren, because, you know, they cut up that contract, and they just should have stayed in there a little bit more, because even last year they were a bit better. You know, with Toro Rosso, they were beginning to do some quite good performances. And you thought with the McLaren chassis, they would have been up there, or certainly getting up towards the front again. And this year, they've really missed out, because that Honda engine has been pretty good. And you've got to think next year, I think maybe more so than the Ferraris, I think it's going to be the Red Bulls that could be right up there. Be maybe even quite dominant. And it could be everyone else trying to catch up with Mercedes and the others, because they certainly seem to be doing pretty well. And that was the track where, you know, Mercedes was supposed to do. They should have done well.
They had every
chance to do it.
The Merc was fast, and Verstappen and Christian Horner both said the Mercedes was very fast. You could see, I thought it was interesting. I don't actually quite agree with what Verstappen said. He said, we weren't as good in the corners as Mercedes, but we were better down the straights because we had a higher top speed, which, you say, is a bit of a surprise from, we've had a few years being used to the Mercedes being such a powerful car and compared to the others. Then the Ferrari engine overtook them, and, you know, there's the possible possible dodginess of what may or may not have been cheating and may or may not have been a change of the engine as to why they're not
right,
fast,
wasn't it?
Suddenly.
Yeah, was it fuel flow or something, wasn't it? Some kind of
I don't really know what it was. It's something to do with the way the fuel's fed to the engine, but I don't really know. I've not had a chance to have a look.
Unless there was some controversy. Slightly ropey, shall we say.
It wouldn't be Formula One if somebody wasn't trying to find a bit of way to cheat. It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
that's part of the game. I love it. But, it's funny because I can see what Verstappen was saying. In the Toro Rosso, Gasly rejuvenated, which sounds ridiculous, he's only about four, but a rejuvenated young man, because he's gone into a team that wasn't, I don't know, the expectations isn't there anymore, so he could calm down and drive to his abilities. It's all psychological. But that drag race with Hamilton at the end.
That was so close.
Side by side, the Merc just was not. The only ground it gained on it was coming out of that corner where he got partially alongside, and then it was just a drag race to the line, and they couldn't do it. He couldn't.
People said that there was the damage that Hamilton sustained on his front wing may possibly have affected the aerodynamics a bit enough to maybe slow him down a bit and give him a bit of drag.
It would have actually sped him up.
Yeah, because if the bits are missing, it would be easier for the airflow.
Generally speaking, it gets a bit not entirely all the time, but in something like the front wing, you get less. If you anything that's a wing producing downforce on the top of the car, if you take it away, then you get less grip, but you get a lot less drag. That's why they've got that new car for 2021, you know, because it's meant to not affect the air over the top as much. So you can carry on, you know, you still have the top speed and you can follow. That's the whole point of that. So it's only a minor damage anyway, but you could see the Mercs weren't, as quick in a straight line as we're used to them being over the past few years. But it was like you say. I actually said, out loud to the telly, talking to my TV because I'm nuts. That Honda engine is no longer the sort of the worst one in the. Far from it. It's got a bit of grunt.
Aye.
So, that bodes well for next year, because if Adrian Newey can design, he's get his team to design the kind of car that we know he's capable of.
Yeah.
Because, I disagree with Verstappen, where he said they weren't as good as in the corners. Well, they look fine to me.
Exactly.
Because, you know, even with Albon and him, they were pulling some overtakes on bends that were that required grip. You know, they required a good, balanced, grippy car, or they wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
So that's a good all-round package at the end of the season. So if they can have that at the beginning of the next season, we're going to have a decent fight all the way to the end, which we've been looking for, wouldn't it, for a while.
Yeah, aye, because it's all about if you're good at the start as well, you know, they can keep through, and if it's going to be competitive, it's going to make for much much better racing overall. And it'd be great to see Verstappen in the mix of that from the word go, because he is good, and he does challenge him. I think Lewis really enjoys the challenge of racing against him. But there were so many amazing moments in that whole race. Obviously, we had Ricciardo, who took out Magnussen, I think at turn four, quite early on in the race. And then he got a five-second penalty for that. And
What the hell is going on with these stewards and rules, though? Mate, they're mind up. If a Ferrari takes off the entire field in Monza and they bring out the once-in-a-lifetime warning flag, and then the rest, and then you're in Brazil. And I mean, it's a good job there weren't any Brazilians there, because they would have black flagged everybody else in the race. Just so that, you know, Barrichello could have been going around at the back and he would have won.
It was quite a thing. But coming to the of course, the big controversy of the whole race was really the two Ferraris taking each other off. It was something else, wasn't it? And it kind of felt it was going to come, because Leclerc just kind of nipped through, but Vettel was right behind them coming through turn three, got the DRS and came out, and of course they were side by side. Now, there were some interesting shots that I saw today where you could see that Leclerc was looking to his right to see where Vettel was, and was kind of steering slightly to the right, and that made some people say, potentially, that although definitely Vettel kind of moved over a tiny wee bit, that's maybe why the wheels touched so easily. But because he was trying to maybe push him off a little bit over onto the right. And that's why Vettel kind of touched him.
Because I have to watch the Channel 4 stuff, you know. But you can rewind it, fast forward it. And I was going back over. The angle was... again, you know, my usual moan about the coverage and whoever's the director... And I don't know, they'd put four camera angles down that straight between turns three and four, half of them behind a pole, and they kept flicking between them, so you couldn't really see the manoeuvre properly, could you? I don't know if you noticed that. I guess you watched it on Sky, did you?
Yeah, we watched it on Sky.
I don't know whether it's the same cameras, perhaps the same feed, but it kind of flicked between four different camera angles, so it was difficult to see what was going on.
Yeah, you only get a few seconds on each bit.
You got the onboard with Leclerc. You didn't get an onboard with Vettel, which I would have liked to have seen. And I was looking very specifically about four or five times, rewinding it, at his steering. And the only steering movement that he did was that slight... You know when they make films and they're pretending to drive?
Yeah.
And they just go backwards and forwards, rocking gently, which is the bumps in the road, effectively, isn't it? That's what it looked like to me. So, I mean, I don't know what you saw, so I can't comment on that, but... I had a good look, and I don't think he did. To me, he didn't move. He just kept staying in a straight line. And the problem is that Vettel hasn't got just form. He's got a season ticket for this kind of behaviour.
Yeah.
Plus, he doesn't like to be beaten. I like Vettel, but he does not like to be beaten.
No, no.
You know?
It was amazing, though.
21 with Webber. Sideswiping in Baku, sideswiping Hamilton when something went wrong. You know, I don't know how many dummies or toys he has in his pram, but he chucks some out quite a bit. You know.
It was quite a thing. What surprised me was how little damage they did do. How small the bump was, but yeah, how much damage it did to Leclerc's car. I mean, it took his whole front wheel off. And they're all solid.
It completely. I was actually quite impressed that the wheel stayed attached, because remember a few years ago I had this problem where that Marshall was killed, wasn't he? And then they put the tethers on, but the tethers were still coming off. They don't do that anymore, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you say, it was like a rub, which you see often.
Aye.
And it just disintegrated his front suspension and tire, didn't it? It's incredible. incredible,
yeah,
really.
Yeah,
what kind of speed are they doing there? Is it about 170,
180, 190? Oh, easily. Yeah, that'll be one of the fastest bits on the track, as well as the kind of final straight. That's one of the quickest bits. But that would be all right, wouldn't it? Just to all our listeners,
the energy, I suppose, the energy going through at that speed, maybe that explains it. But it does seem a bit weird, didn't it? A bit scary.
Yeah. No, I mean it was quite something. Just a quick reminder for all our listeners who are listening live and who are listening on this later on in the week. You're listening to the Car, Sim, and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and our very special guest, Andrew Marr. And remember, our competition, all you need to do is subscribe to the show, give us a follow, write some comments, and then just confirm it all with an email to info@hughhattrick.com to be entered into our exclusive photo tile competition. We can give you the picture that nobody else can. Well, let's get back to the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Just talking about just talking about the Vettel and Leclerc incident, this whole banging of wheels things that's going on down the straight. Up until that point, they've been having a nice little battle, you know, Leclerc going on the outside, they've given each other room and all this kind of stuff. So on a sort of selfish basis, I think it spoilt what was going to be a good further battle around the next few corners, you know. But one of the things Jackie Stewart said years ago, you remember Schumacher used to bash into people and he used to build up over a race weekend to get quicker and quicker, didn't he?
Yeah,
Come off the track. Remember, he used to come off the track and then he knew he'd gone too far. And somebody asked Jackie Stewart what happened when they used to go too far or when they used to bang wheels and stuff like this. And his answer was very simple. So we didn't, because if you did, you died.
Yeah.
And the thing that worries me is at the moment there's this – we're all sick and tired of the over-safety nannying that's going on.
Yeah,
but when you get someone doing what Vettel did or squeezing someone across like that and you're doing 180, 190 mile an hour, don't they realise they're going to kill someone? You know, that's the problem. It's not bumper cars. The wheels rub. They hit into each other. I just think it's a really dangerous way of behaving on a racetrack, you know? It's not the way to do it. You know, you see the really skillful drivers keeping people behind them in other ways.
Yeah.
They can cross. That's not on. I don't like that.
Yeah, it's a bit, because and kind of pushing people side by side is pretty ropey, because, I mean, if you went off and got a wheel on the grass and the car spun, you could have a colossal accident.
Look what happened to that young lad in Spa.
Yeah, that was because he ricocheted off, he tried to avoid someone and hit the wall, and then he got hit by somebody else coming here.
That's all it'd take.
Yeah.
You don't know when this kind of thing is going to happen. And I'm not saying... Oh, it should all be covered in cotton wool and super safe. You know, it's a dangerous sport. It's always going to be a dangerous sport. And one of the things that makes the difference is having cojones, you know, to sort of do stuff that the rest of us aren't mad enough to try. But to deliberately go across and stuff like this, it's just...
Yeah, it does take it to the limit, doesn't it? But I mean, what's amazing, they both went off. There was Vettel standing for a while looking, kind of thinking about what he had been doing. But like, thinking what he was going to say to his bosses, I think was probably quite likely. They were summoned to Italy, I think, at the base.
Were they?
On Monday, to see what was going to happen. Some people say, will they keep the same lineup, or will it be enough? They're going to announce what they're going to do, I think, quite soon.
If they want to win the World Championship, they need to not. We had this conversation last time, didn't we, Hugh, where you were saying about someone to partner Hamilton, you know, that can take the fight to him, you know, like Verstappen or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And I sort of disagreed and said, no, you need someone that can keep up with him but not take the fight to him, because
they'll take points off each other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And look what's happening in Ferrari. You've got two drivers who just can't. I mean, things with Bottas and Bottas and Hamilton, when they race each other, they're very respectful the way they go about it, and they don't take each other off. Vettel and Leclerc,
they don't care.
Maybe they've been watching Grosjean. Maybe there's a virus going around that's swept through via the Ferrari engine, because it from the Haas, because that's got a Ferrari engine, from Grosjean and Magnussen, and is now going through the Ferrari team, where the drivers smash into each other periodically. I don't know.
I wonder if it'll be if they get rid of Leclerc or if they'll get rid of Vettel. I just don't know. But
get rid of Leclerc.
Yeah, because he's a bit of the new boy, isn't he? And he is quite good. But I don't know. But I can't see Vettel being sent off to. Well, yeah, I suppose he's getting there, but I can't see him heading off to Alfa Romeo or something like that. I just don't think that would be his.
If anyone retires, it would be Vettel. It would be Vettel. Because it's like Alonso. Alonso was a supremely brilliant driver, but he was getting nowhere for whatever reasons, and you just get to a point when you go,
you know. I know, that's the thing, isn't it? So it was just so eventful. And then, of course, towards the end, you had pit stops. First of all, Verstappen coming in at one safety car when Bottas went off. And that was really something that he needed to do, and it did get him ahead. It did, because he knew that Hamilton was told to do the opposite of Verstappen, but really, Hamilton should have come in as well, to be fair. Again, I sometimes think the Mercedes strategy isn't as good as what it could be, and Hamilton does challenge it quite a lot. But I just think if he'd come in at the same time as Verstappen, they would have been a lot closer. I think they may have been a bit more racing, because then, of course, Hamilton came in a few laps from the end after the incident with, now, who was that? Was that when he put someone, who did he punt off again?
Albon
off, but then he was sent off. It was after the Ferrari crash, was it not? When the two of them went off
with the safety car, they brought him in quick, and it was just insane, because I actually think that they did very well with the strategies up until that point. Apart from they put soft tyres on him when they should have put him on a hard or a medium.
Yeah, medium,
because then it would have given him more options.
Yeah,
and I thought it was great because it got him ahead. It got twice. He got ahead of Verstappen, didn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and then Verstappen took him, which, you know, he took him with a great fight. And what's fantastic is that you've got those two guys, and you can really see that what Hamilton had that makes him as good as he is, Verstappen's got that fighty spirit, you know.
Yes.
Like I said, Hamilton used to punt a few people off now and again, and he was learning his trade back in the day. But look what it's turned into. He's six times world champion, and coming up to be one of the most successful, or the most successful driver in history. And you can see that Verstappen started even earlier, and okay, he didn't get such a quick start in winning, but he's still done it at a very early part of his career. And he's a hell of a racer. I mean, there's some things that I'm very, very annoyed about with the kid. You know, some of his attitudes and all this kind of stuff, you just want to sort of take him aside and slap him around the head. But my God, the kid can race, and he's fast, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he's got a bit of confidence about him, so he's not that interested in. But all this stuff they're saying about, he's showing Hamilton the way. He's not showing Hamilton anything. Hamilton doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's quite capable of. Yeah, exactly. But what I mean is, I don't think he feels threatened by the guy. He was threatened by Nico Rosberg in his team. He was threatened by Alonso at the beginning of his career. But I don't think he's threatened by Verstappen. I think he's continued to mature, continues to change. I ended up so much respect for the way he behaved with the little mistake he made, punting Albon off.
Yes, he admitted his straight away and apologised.
It was just like, I love the way a lot of people try and make out that he's this false guy. I don't think he is, you know. Even with his, you know, veganism. Like I said last time, I think he genuinely believes something.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sort of going to listen to him, but I think he's actually being genuine. He's just whatever. But that was great. You know, he saw a bit of a gap, and he wanted to win. He doesn't care that he's wrapped up the championship. He wants to win. He doesn't want to, oh, yeah, you lot carry on. He wants. He's a racer. He wants to win. Fantastic. Oh, a gap. Oh, bugger. You know. And then to say that, I genuinely felt sorry for him. I just thought that was such a class move. A class act. Really, really good. Just fantastic. And would the stewards, as idiotic as they are, this is something that was said on Five Live, it took so long for the stewards to decide, even though Lewis said, yeah, I did it straight away.
That's true, wasn't it?
Science's podium, you know. If he hadn't said that, if he'd have said, no, he turned into me, they probably wouldn't have given him the penalty.
I mean, he left a huge space. I mean, Albon, you know, he left the door wide open. And they are any racer's going to go for that. And he was just about there. And you could see it was such a slight touch because the fact, okay, Albon was sent spinning, but there was hardly any damage really to Hamilton's car. He was able to drive away quite easily. Yeah. So it was the slightest of pushes, really. It wasn't really a major thing because these cars break up so easily if you hit them in the wrong places and things, you know. So, I was kind of a little bit annoyed that it ended up you got a 5-second penalty because I kind of thought really it was more of a racing incident. And it was just unfortunate Albon came off with that. But at the end of the day, I mean, he opened the door and he had, you know, he's going to go through, he's going to try. Especially with the closing laps, you know.
They brought him in and put him on fresh tyres for two laps to go. Why? That was where I agree with you. They're just like, what's the point of that? But they do this all the time, don't they? I mean, it's like years ago, I can't remember which one it was, a wet race. Hamilton was in the lead and they had a few laps to go and the tyres were falling to bits, but they only had something like 7 laps to go or 6 laps to go, something like that. It might have been a British Grand Prix, but they brought him in, guaranteeing that he would lose 4 places or 5 places and then hopefully get past people in a place where you can't overtake. And I'm yelling at the screen, just leave him out. He might lose 4 or 5 places, but then again, he's pretty good at keeping people behind him. Maybe he won't. You know, you're guaranteeing losing the places by bringing him in.
Yeah.
So leave him out. You know, if they overtake him, they overtake him, but he might not. But if you getting past someone's hard, we saw that. Bottas couldn't do it. Bottas couldn't get past Leclerc. For lap after lap after lap, you know. I don't understand. I know they've got they keep saying all they're very clever people, but they're very clever people, but they do some really stupid things.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's how you remember that. It was either when Hamilton almost won his title in the first year, and of course he lost it in China. That was the first big problem. And it was the same that I think they wanted him in when he didn't need to. He could have done another few laps on the tyres. He was well ahead and pulling out. And then they told him to come in. And of course, I think it was the in area, the pit area was quite dodgy. And of course, it had that gravel trap and he just went a little bit wide and went into that.
No, Hugh, that's not what happened. No, what happened is they left him out too long and his tyre actually burst.
All right, was it kind of shredded, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, they left him out way too long. They should have called him in a couple of 3 laps earlier because his tyre was wearing so much and they left him out, and his tyre actually delaminated or burst. And then he had to do 2/3 of a lap or whatever it was on a partially deflating tyre. Mm. And then he was too hot coming into the pit lane and it slid off and he got beached on the gravel. Yeah. So it was a combination of, you're absolutely right, it was McLaren. McLaren should have brought him in. So they messed up. But then in those days, it was this whole, you know, he was having a sort of a ham attack. And he got angry and overdrove and then slid it onto the thing. Like I say, if it had just come out, and I think he only needed to be, was it third?
Yeah, he would have been the world champion. He would have been the world champion in that race. Yeah. Was gutted. I was gutted on that one.
I was. And I remember Jackie Stewart saying about him that if he's got any nous about him, you know, if he's considered and he sort of thinks about what he's doing, then he'll win. But then Jackie Stewart said afterwards, he said he he let his emotion get the better of him, and he allowed, because Jack Stewart was known for being an amazing tactician with these things, wasn't he? He was a very, he sort of went as slow as he possibly, he was one of these ones like Fangio, he went as slow as he possibly could to just win the race, so the car didn't break and stuff like that. He was very skillful at that.
Yeah.
That's why I kept an eye on Hamilton for years, and that's why I think, and was very impressed by how he grew and changed and matured. And he doesn't do that so much. Well, he hardly ever at all. One of the things you can say about Lewis Hamilton is that he'll finish a race.
Very consistent. Really consistent.
You know, he doesn't smash into people apart from if they're called Albon.
I know, that's the thing. Well, I mean, he's had such a good points. I mean, he still had an amazing points finish. In fact, I think it was going to be a record of podiums, wasn't it? Or top six finishes. But in that he finished seventh. But no, he's done remarkably well. It's been something like over 36 points finishes, I think it was, in a row. Maybe even more than that now, which is huge. I mean, that's like two full seasons almost, you know, without failing to finish.
If you go back to a few years ago, it's probably about five. When they had 16 races, it was, now they've got 21.
What is your view? Because some of our listeners might be wondering, you know, what do they think of these, you know, 21? I mean, this year we've got 21 Grand Prix. I think it's quite a lot. I mean, I know that when it was 15, we used to think, oh, we could have done with one or two more, because it was basically March to October, and then that was about it. Kind of, that was the beginning of October to the middle of October, and that was it. Now we're right to the very end of November, going into December, before the season finishes. And it does seem quite long. I'm not entirely sure it's as good having so many races. I mean, it's not just about the number. I think really you want quality as much as anything else. I know they're all very excited about a race in Miami and things like that. I just don't know. I'm not convinced by it, to be fair.
Well, Miami's. I've been to Miami. I'm sure you have as well, haven't you?
I've been to Florida, but to be fair, I've not actually been to Miami. It does look amazing.
Oh, you not go to
on the beach, I've not actually been that far.
My family of my ex and I, we drove around Miami to, you know, for a day trip, and it was one of these things where you're driving around and American cities, as you definitely know, because you're Orlando guide and stuff, don't really have a centre as such, do they?
Yeah, it's just lots of blocks.
You're driving around wondering where Miami is. Where would you go if you were visiting Miami? And you're in it. You're just driving around. And what it reminds me of is Valencia. You know, that sort of seafront. Not Valencia as in the really beautiful town. I mean, but in terms of the Grand Prix, you know, you get the marina and all this kind of thing. I can't imagine it being any different to that. These little streets and
I just buildings don't know. For me, I thought they could have done something more. I think there's a lot more. I mean, I'm sure it's a lovely place and it's exciting and things, but I just don't know for a Grand Prix. I think they could still use a lot better circuits. You know, I think you've got the old. You've got Imola. Imola circuit has got so much kind of passion and history to it. Although that horrendous accident that killed Senna and Ratzenberger, you know, the obviously it was partly the areas of the track. But you think when they changed it and they put the chicanes in, it really took out the whole, you know, the kind of flair of the track, because Tamburello Corner was so dangerous. You know, that's what made it. You know, it was. I know that you kind of think, could they not have moved the walls away and put other things in to kind of make it a bit safer? And now they would put probably tarmac and, you know, to make, give it a much bigger runoff and kind of things like that, which is fair enough. But they lost that whole feel of the track, and I just hope they can bring something back. You know, I'd love to see them race at Imola again. I think that would be fantastic, especially because the cars are so fast, you know. And it's just got such, you know, it's like the British Grand Prix in that way, that you've got so much heritage. It always makes for a really good race, normally. You know, it's exciting.
Because of our wonderful Italian nutter friends, they also give it that superb atmosphere as well, don't they? You know, the sea of red. Imagine a sea of red with a chunk of orange in it from, you know, Verstappen's nutters. And all the nutters in the world, and then the odd Brit there going, well, we're not mad, honest. So, all the stereotypes.
I think there's so many races that could be good. I mean, Donington, that year they had the European Grand Prix at Donington. I mean, that was quite a race, and incredible because of the weather.
Or Brands. I mean, Brands Hatch is just that's a synonymous with racing circuit as well. That's had world championships on there as well.
I think they would have to do quite a bit of work safety-wise to get that, take a lot of the cheese away.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's all got to take, yeah, of course.
It would be quite a big job, but it would be a great track.
They've got the same with Donington. They had the same problem with Donington, because it was rumoured to be moving to Donington a few years ago, wasn't it?
And there was but they rebuilt it. They were going to make the track totally different, and then it went bust. And then they put it back to what it was before. But I think the bridge is gone. I think one of the bridges is gone.
Oh, okay.
I think so. The one that Mansell crashed into in his touring car. I think that's gone. So,
my son Mansell. Oh my god!
It was where that guy Billy Monger. Billy Monger had his crash because somebody broke down and he went into him. But there used to be a bridge there, and I think that one was taken down when they redid the track. So that's gone. But there's so many tracks around the world. I mean, I think I really missed it all. Hockenheim that went into the forest.
That's the one I've seen. It was. I've actually watched that. That's the race I've watched live. I was at the Ost Curve out in the woods, and it was astonishing. You don't get that because they're coming down that straight, and even with Jim Clark Curve there to slow it down.
Yeah,
they're still hitting well over 200 mile an hour, and all you'd hear in it, because it was a V10 era as well, is and then whoop, and off they go again. It's just, I mean, you only see him for like 4 seconds, but my God, what a view and what a sound. You sat there
thunderous
eating Bockwurst and hopefully having a beer, getting with all these mad Germans with the Mercedes hats on and all this kind of stuff. And it just was fantastic. And then you get a nice walk afterwards, because you've got to walk for about half an hour to get there. Now it's all in this Mickey Mouse stadium section, which was there. I keep watching it on telly trying to work out where the track disappeared, you know, and you can still see where it goes and comes back.
Aye, because I think they've built a road somewhere near it, haven't they? But there's still a lot of the old track is still there. Where it was. It's overgrown now. I think they've allowed the planted trees.
Let it go back to the forest.
I think they've got rid of some of the tarmac as well. I think they must have chewed it up. I mean, of course, they're going to change the Brazilian Grand Prix as well. There's going to be a new track in Brazil coming in a few years' time. Yeah, to Rio. And I don't know. I'm just not entirely sure.
That's one of the best tracks in the world. Now, sure, you get hijacked and taken hostage if you go there, but the track is amazing. You know, you hear Rubens Barrichello talking about how he used to stand looking over the fence watching Senna race.
You're not
going to get that with some
sanitized
place in Rio, you know, to get lost. Stop it. It's all well and good being modern and having new tracks. That's great. I mean, Baku, who can complain about Baku? What a fantastic circuit.
It's as mad
as a brush. You've got these bits which are like Monaco, and then you've got like a... God, they could probably do 300 mile an hour down that straight. It's just insane. Racing in between these little buildings, and then you're off on this. Wah! It's like Monaco mixed with China or Malaysia. Malaysia was a great track. Loved Malaysia.
That was really good.
Final corner in the first corner, that two corners, that those corkscrew things. Some of the best races I've ever seen, including on motorbikes as well. The best races my son and I watched with Valentino Rossi was at the Malaysian circuit. And it was because of the nature of the circuit. It had been so well designed. It gave lots of opportunity for stuff to go on. And the same with racing in the cars, you know, in F1. They were always good races. I don't understand why they stopped it. Well, it's all money, isn't it? But... Manicor's another good place I actually quite like, with the French Grand Prix.
Lots of action. There was always lots of, not a lot of things usually would happen there.
But in that modern art installation at
Paul Ricard, I just don't know. I can't get into that. It's just not my thing at all. But as you're saying about Baku, though, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Monaco. In terms of, you know, you see the people watching from their balconies and things like that, and some amazing architecture and all that kind of stuff. I'd like to go to that one. That race looks incredible.
I'll tell you what, that place looks gorgeous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does look a gorgeous place to be. And it's Monaco that you can overtake on.
Yeah, because you've got the wide straights, and then you've got the incredibly narrow parts as well.
You've got the combination of what everyone loves about Monaco, a beautiful place with an amazing atmosphere, and you're seeing the skill of people, 1,000 horsepower cars being threaded between buildings, but you can still overtake. Yeah. And it's so you don't get a procession.
Great.
Exactly. What a really good Grand Prix. We like that. But there's older circuits there, like you say, like Silverstone, the old Hockenheim. I mean, Turkey, they disappeared from Turkey. I seem to remember enjoying those Grand Prix. Was it Turn 8?
That incredible.
Double apex.
That was quite a track to try and master. I remember trying to do it on the PlayStation and the games, and it was really difficult. It was really hard. Okay.
Which is what you want.
It was made for a very, very good race. I remember Hamilton and Button having a really close battle there. And, of course, then you had Vettel and Webber taking each other off in dramatic circumstances. Instead of all the right corners, you had that long straight, and then you had that kind of the hairpins at the end, which were really tricky. Even turn one was tricky. It was all tricky. I mean, really hard corners everywhere.
If you got it right, you were a master. So that's the point, surely. Isn't that the point? I take your point about having 21 races. I mean, it's great for people like you and me that like to watch it. It's great to have it there. But those poor sods that have got to traipse out, to cover half the world in a few weeks and then not see the family and not see anybody and not have a sleep, that it must be hard. Yeah, and it cracks me up. They're talking about cost-cutting and capping and this, and they're talking about carbon footprints, this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're adding races all over the world. Did you see Ross Brawn do an interview? He did an interview on Channel 4. I don't know if he did it with anyone else. Now, I love Ross Brawn. I was never a Schumacher fan, but I was always a Ross Brawn fan because I think the guy's a genius, which is why I was a bit worried that it seems to be written out of the Hamilton history, because Ross Brawn's why that Hamilton went there. They keep talking about Niki Lauda, the great Niki Lauda, who I'm a massive fan of to this day. But Ross Brawn, at the time, all the newspapers were saying he's going there because of Ross Brawn. Now, Ross Brawn, I think, is the voice and brain of sense in the people running F1 now. Anything that's good that's coming along, Ross Brawn is probably the one fighting for it to be there. Like the aerodynamics under the car and all this kind of stuff, that's probably his idea. He was talking about this carbon neutral thing and stuff, and we were talking last time, weren't we, about Hamilton coming out with the
voice.
and the engines in those cars are immensely efficient. You said yourself. Now, Ross Brawn was saying, we need to be more efficient. We need to be better about this kind of stuff because it's just the future of everything, But the engines in the F1 cars, because people keep comparing F1 to Formula E, it says the engines in the F1 cars are the most efficient internal combustion engines on the planet. Now, and the emissions and fuel they use are minuscule compared with the logistics of flying these teams all over the world, which is exactly the same as Formula E. So Formula E is this environmentally friendly thing because it's got electric cars, but the actual racing cars are a tiny part. The aeroplanes moving hundreds of tons of stuff all over the world. That's exactly the same. It's a farce. I was saying about the people, this unintended consequence thing, people thinking that it's environmentally friendly because it's electric cars. Well, the rest of it isn't. They've got electric airplanes and electric container ships and electric, and all these other stuff's the same.
The disposal of it is crazy, isn't it?
But it's just nuts. Yeah. So but that's what I thought what he said was brilliant. Really good. How clever these F1 cars are, how well designed, and the technology that F1 brings on that then benefits everybody in the world. He's brilliant, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to get more and more of that. But how can you do that when you want them to spend less and less money and you're giving them more and more races to do and making it harder and harder to develop a car? I don't understand how they can do one and say they're going to do the other. I mean
it's a massive amount of money for any team anyway. I used to like it when they used to bring spare cars, even qualifying engines, qualifying cars, the T car. And of course, it meant if they had accidents, they could jump into the spare. and off they went. You know, so it was quite a thing. But it was a different era in that at that time. Yeah.
It was
fantastic. You know,
look how reliable they are now.
Yeah, which is true that they are an awful. It's rare that you get more than 2 or 3 retirements in any race. To be fair, and you see well, some
was
of
it Bottas? Bottas, his engine blew, didn't it?
Yeah, or whatever, an engine problem, aye.
But that's the first retirement, mechanical retirement for Mercedes this year.
Yeah, which is incredible, really.
That's
when
amazing.
You think of the pressure that they're under. But
I remember when the Mercedes engine used to let go on Coulthard and Hakkinen, one lap from the end of the race after they'd dominated the whole thing.
Yeah,
and the swearing that he did.
I mean, how many races did Coulthard lose because of that? He probably could have been world champion without that, you know. So it was pretty bad. But for our listeners, you're listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr. Now, we've been talking about the incredible Brazilian Grand Prix that was won by Jos Verstappen. By Max Verstappen. I remember Jos had a huge accident way back, I think it was 1994. Remember when he crashed into Martin Brundle and there was somebody else there that he crashed into as well. And he also had a huge fireball in the pit lane. That was another one. Wow. So he was quite an eventful driver. But Max, of course, won that race the weekend. And it was certainly won it in style. It had so many overtakes and carnage and people crashing into each other. We had Hamilton and Albon, both the Ferraris going off. We had Ricciardo and Magnussen going off. It really was full of action and excitement from start to finish. Now, perhaps our listeners would like to tell us. They can send us an email at info@hughhattrick.com, or you can leave a comment on Podbean, or you can leave a comment on our Facebook page as well, which is the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Let us think, are you a big fan of 21 races in the season, or would you like to see it maybe a little bit less, but perhaps maybe better tracks, more famous tracks? Do you think the heritage of the sport is more important than developing it into new countries and new venues? Let us know what you think. It would be fantastic to hear from you. And remember, you can win our special photo tile prize. All you need to do is let us know of what you think would be the best picture that you would like to have from Formula One. We'll do our best to track it down and we'll put it onto a photo tile for you. I can hear Andrew yawning in the background there.
Oh, but sorry.
It was the one. You can only get that. What a live show.
Clear.
Nowhere else would you get that.
I didn't think I was making a noise. Do apologise.
That's all right. And we'll send you a photo tile. So all you need to do is subscribe to our show, follow us, give us a comment as well, and then confirm your subscription by sending us an email at info@hughhattrick.com, and we will put you in the prize draw, and we're going to do that on the 2nd of December. So to sum up, Andrew, the Brazilian Grand Prix, do you think that kind of excitement will carry on into Abu Dhabi a week on Sunday?
Well, I hope Vettel doesn't pay a blind bit of notice to being told off because
we need him. I like him.
Fun.
I like the way he drives.
If everybody just went around and just raced, it wouldn't be boring, but it wouldn't be quite as much fun as it is at the moment. You know, punting people off. Grosjean hasn't hit anybody in weeks. I'm bored. I want him to. And they need to invest in getting the rights to the Benny Hill music when he's going around. And with Vettel as well, you know. I just think it was. But the great thing about that race is that there are many races that we've seen which have only been interesting because people crash into each other or have a fight.
Yeah,
but this one also had great racing as well. It had Hamilton fighting. Hamilton fighting like the buggery to get to win, and Verstappen taking it back and seeing the fight between them, seeing the fight between Leclerc and going past, seeing Sainz. Wow, what an amazing job Sainz did coming from the back. Now, okay, he was third because of Hamilton's penalty, but still to fourth.
Yeah.
And he's in the McLaren.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. That was really good to see him working Pretty Lando can get up there as well, but certainly the Sainz is incredibly underrated, I think.
I think he's great. He's really good.
And of course, Nico Hülkenberg with one race to go. I think he could have done more. You kind of wonder, you know, some of these other drivers are staying in, like Kvyat and others, and yet, you know, I think Hülkenberg normally well outperforms his station.
And I kind of wonder what will happen. I think it's such a shame that he's not been in a top car, because I have the opinion that he's got a lot to give, and it's a psychology thing. I think if he was in a team where he really felt he had a chance to win a championship or something, or win races, he'd be even faster. I just remember when he won Le Mans 2 years ago.
That's a huge thing to do. That's a massive talent. Yeah.
He comes back, the telly starts talking to him again because I'd forgotten about him, and it was like a different driver. He was 10%, 20% faster than he'd been before for a few races, and then of course it settles back into, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Sad. I think it's really sad. But in the race, you know, you're seeing even Ricciardo, him and Magnussen came together, but he goes for overtakes. That's why I love him. I'm a big fan of Ricciardo, because he's an exciting driver to watch, and he goes for overtakes, and he obviously enjoys what he does, just like Hamilton does. Hamilton wasn't in the least bit bothered that he'd got the penalty. He wasn't in the least bit bothered that he didn't win afterwards. He'd had a really good race. He'd had fun. And that's what you want to see. You want to see drivers that aren't calculating. They're mad, and they want to drive. You know, people like me, that if I was a multi-million and a bit smaller, so I could fit into one of those things, and a lot more talented, and you know, my parents were a lot richer, then I'd be doing that, or whatever the reasons are.
So would we all. No, I know what you mean.
You know, I mean, you don't get many council estate blokes in Formula One, and there's a reason for that. The reason is that we can't afford to go karting. Even Hamilton, his dad, was it three jobs to pay for it?
Yeah, it says.
He's had his payback now, but hell, that's a lot of commitment on the off chance that your son might do very well. Got to respect that. You've got to respect that.
Well, so, on that note, we better round up the show. It's been nearly an hour of the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. And we thank you to all our listeners who have been very loyal and have gone through the whole thing tonight, because we had a few technical issues earlier on, but thankfully we got it all working, and Andrew has been able to be with us for the whole hour of the show tonight. Andrew, to sum up for a few words, we'll be back hopefully for in a couple of weeks' time after Abu Dhabi to get an update to see how that race goes, and then we can maybe have a sum up of the season, if you like, as well. That would be fantastic. But give us an idea of what your emotions were like at the end of the Brazilian Grand Prix.
I was excited, shocked, a bit pumped, really, because the roller coaster of great racing through most of it, and then absolute pants racing between the two Ferraris at the end. Just like going, yeah, brilliant. You know, bring it on. Like I say, Benny Hill, start the music. It was great. I really enjoyed that race.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. And to all our listeners and viewers who are watching the show and listening to the show, of course, you can only listen because it's on Podbean Live at the moment. But we'll do another YouTube Live when we can afford to pay to the Zoom fees. But thank you very much for listening to the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Remember about our competition for the photo tile. Subscribe to the show. Send us an email at info@hughhattrick.com, and we'll put you into the competition where you can win a very special photo tile, which you can stick up on your wall and say, I got that from the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. But have an incredibly good week, and remember our motto: drive fast and try not to crash. At cardioadvisor.co.uk, we can help you save thousands of pounds on your next new car or van, and we can also source second-hand cars as well, and we can save you money on car rental, whether it be in the UK and abroad. Just click our rental link on the website. And we'll give you a free gift if you trade in your car with We Buy Any Car using our special website link. So go to the website now and see how much you can save. And it's back to the show. Thanks for listening.